Thank you, Jerry. I'll take a minute now just to introduce three senior managers at Cameco who have joined us this afternoon. First is Tim Gutzel. At the back, our Senior VP, Chief Operating Officer. We also have Grant Isaac, who has joined us just recently, Senior VP of Corporate Services, and Cheryl Fox, who is Acting Vice President of Investor, Corporate, and Government Relations. Thank you. Our next speaker is Dave Neuberger, VP of Mining, who's been with Cameco 16 years, I guess. Dave will take a closer look at deposit formations and mining methods in the challenging mining environment of the Athabasca. He'll examine our long history of operating there and through innovation and creativity, show how we have applied lessons learned to overcome the challenges and capitalize on the rewards of mining there. Dave? Take it away.
Thank you, Bob, and good afternoon. It's a great pleasure for me to have the opportunity today to speak to you about the challenges we face in mining and in our operations in the Athabasca Basin. I understand that tomorrow you'll be on tour of the MacArthur River Mine and Key Lake Mill, and I welcome you to Saskatoon and wish you a great tour tomorrow, fabulous sights to visit for those of you who haven't been there before. And I know you'll have some questions here today, but I'm sure you'll have some more as you ponder things and you can share them with the management teams at MacArthur River and Key Lake tomorrow as well. Prior to your tours, I'd like to set the stage by providing you with an appreciation for the unique geology and challenges in Saskatchewan's Athabasca Basin and to Cameco's successful approach to operating in this environment. I've been with Cameco since 1993 and have held positions in engineering, strategic planning, in operations management, and for the last 4 to 5 years as the Vice President of Mining. In my current role, I'm responsible for the leadership and direction of our uranium mining and milling operations in northern Saskatchewan. I'll start my presentation with an overview of the operating environment in the Athabasca Basin, how the various deposits were formed, and the mining methods that have been used. Next, I'll move more specifically to Cameco's current mining operations in the Athabasca Basin, Rabbit Lake, and MacArthur River. I'll spend a bit of time on how the unique geology of the high-grade unconformity deposits in particular has led to some very unique or even boutique mining methods to deal with the particular risks and challenges that these deposits present. Finally, I will reflect on the lessons we've learned and successfully applied throughout our organization that have given us a track record of reliable and safe production. The core of Cameco's production comes from mines located in the uranium-rich Athabasca Basin. For more than half a century, this region has been a prolific producer of uranium. Since 1953, more than 600 million pounds of uranium have been produced from the Athabasca Basin. Cameco and its predecessor companies, as the predominant uranium mining company in the region, has a long history of successfully operating in this prolific environment and has produced over 80% of Saskatchewan's uranium, about 540 million pounds from the Rabbit Lake, Key Lake, and MacArthur River deposits alone. One thing I'll point out to you on this chart is that you see the Key Lake MacArthur Rivers combined, because all of that is being produced through the Key Lake Mill, but we separate here the Key Lake ore from the earlier years and production of MacArthur River ore through the Key Lake Mill in more recent years. Our geologists and mine engineers have come to understand the varied deposit models of the Athabasca Basin and have gained unique insight and developed expertise for successfully overcoming the challenges and capitalizing on the rich opportunities that the geology presents. The development of these rich deposits started 2 billion years ago when the region was a barren and rocky landscape. As time progressed, the area flooded and became an inland sea. And over many, many, many years, deposits of sand, some kilometers thick, accumulated. The sand was compressed into sandstone, and eventually the seas retreated. Powerful geotechnical forces acted on these rock masses. The pressure eventually caused the weaker graphite-filled areas of the ground to fracture. Water was one of the primary agents responsible for creating the deposits that we mine today. Hot water was constantly circulating through the porous sandstone that made up the Athabasca Basin. As the hot fluid moved through the sandstone, it picked up and carried small amounts of uranium. The water continued to transport the uranium until it came to a location where fractured, graphite-rich ground was present. This presented both the right physical and chemical environment for the uranium to be deposited. This process continued over millions of years, slowly establishing the deposits into what we see today. From this model, it's evident that the very mechanics responsible for the formation of our deposits also account for the unique challenges we face. Without the fractured ground and ever-present water, the deposits of the Athabasca Basin would not have formed. Those present the greatest challenges that we've overcome in our mining practices. Cameco's operations and development projects in Saskatchewan are all located in the eastern part of the Athabasca Basin. MacArthur River is our flagship operation. Ore from MacArthur River is transported by truck in a slurry form to Cameco's Key Lake Mill. We also operate an underground mine and a mill at Rabbit Lake and are constructing the world's second largest high-grade uranium mine at Cigar Lake. This slide provides an approximate indication of how our various uranium deposits are located in relation to the variable depth of sandstone across the Athabasca Basin. Selection of an appropriate mining method is dependent on the depth of deposit, whether it is in the basement rock or at the unconformity with the overlying sandstone. It's also dependent upon the dip of the deposit, as well as geotechnical and hydrogeological conditions. The Rabbit Lake operation, situated right near the eastern end of the Athabasca Basin, consists of four previously mined out open pit deposits and the Eagle Point underground mine. With the exception of the original open pit deposit, subsequent open pit mining was carried out by building dikes around the near shore deposits to enable mining. The Eagle Point mine is located entirely in basement rock. At Key Lake, two unconformity deposits were mined, both as open pits. And finally, MacArthur River and Cigar Lake deposits are both examples of unconformity deposits at depths that result in underground mining methods. With mineral reserves of 333 million pounds, and an average ore grade more than 100 times the world average at 21%, MacArthur River is the world's largest high-grade deposit by far. MacArthur can produce more than 18 million pounds of U308 per year by mining only 50,000 tons of ore, or about 135 tons per day. At the world average uranium grade, more than 5 million tons of ore would have to be mined each year to produce the same amount of uranium. The MacArthur River deposit is situated between 500 and 600 meters below surface. The uranium mineralization consists of a number of mineralized zones with unusually high grades. All of these pictured in orange on the slide you're seeing. The current mineral reserves are contained within zones 1 to 4. That's all in this area. Surface exploration in recent years has identified the inferred mineral resources referred to as Zone A and Zone B. The mine development consists of a network of tunnels, processing facilities, it's all located down in the bottom area of the mine, and equipment located primarily in basement rock. And all this is connected to surface by three shafts through the overlying sandstone. The ore at MacArthur River is located close to the interface between water-bearing sandstone and relatively non-porous basement rock. The rock structure above and adjacent to the deposit is generally weak, and groundwater is present under hydrostatic pressure at depth. The nature of the deposit creates significant mining challenges to control the high-pressure groundwater, to stabilize the weak rock, and to limit radiation exposure to our personnel underground. The most notable technique that Cameco has deployed in overcoming these challenges is ground freezing. Drilling freeze holes from the basement rock through weak ground and into the sandstone, subject to hydrostatic pressure, has required considerable innovation to protect against the risk of inflow. Ground freezing is critical to the mine plans at both MacArthur River and Cigar Lake. However, the geometry of the ore zones at MacArthur River has enabled the use of freeze walls, whereas the fairly flat Cigar Lake deposit requires mass freezing of panels of ore. Grant Goddard will talk to you in much more detail about Cigar Lake later in the program today. Regardless of the differences, both freeze walls and mass freezing result in multiple benefits. Not only does the freezing create an impermeable barrier to groundwater, it typically strengthens a weak rock mass and does an excellent job of controlling radon. This schematic illustrates how freeze walls are created at MacArthur River. Holes are drilled through the rock. In this case, in the illustration, from the upper level, which is in basement rock, to the lower level in basement rock. As the holes are drilled through the rock, steel pipe is inserted into the holes, and a brine solution at minus 30 degrees Celsius is circulated through those holes. Over a period of months, all the water in the surrounding rock becomes frozen, blocking the flow of groundwater and stabilizing ground conditions. Once frozen, the freeze wall effectively extends the area protected from groundwater flow. In the illustration, this wedge of ground then becomes protected from the basement through the frozen ground to the basement rock again. In order to secure production at MacArthur River for a number of years into the future, we are transitioning to two new mining areas in 2009 and 2010, and we've been carrying out many activities over the last number of years aimed at this transition. As part of the transition, we need to establish freeze walls around these two new areas. In Zone 2, Panel 5, one of the areas that we refer to, and you'll get more familiar with that tomorrow, the freeze wall is sufficiently frozen now to allow development of the raise bore chamber that is currently underway. In lower zone 4, the other transition area, development of the raise bore freeze chamber was completed in June, and drilling and installation of freeze holes started in early July and is now very well advanced. The illustration you see here is in zone 2. I'll take a few minutes to explain a few of the highlights. The red zone that you see, the red area, is the ore model, a significant portion of which has been mined out since production began at MacArthur River in 2000. The original freeze walls are illustrated through these traces that are running vertically down from what is the 530 level down to the 620 level. The panel 5 freeze wall is the canopy of freeze holes illustrated here. You can think of them as a bit of a cathedral ceiling. The portion of development that you see shown in blue is a ramp that allows access to the panel 5 raise bore drill level from the 530 level. So this, the 530 level is not shown for clarity of the slide, but this blue development is a ramp that comes up from 530 level, and the yellow development is the raise bore chamber that we are currently developing as the drill level for panel 5 of zone 2. Production from panel 5 is planned to begin later this year upon completion of this development. I'd like to now review some highlights from the current McArthur River Life of Mine Plan that is included in the McArthur River Technical Report. All production from McArthur River since the mine began production in 2000 has come from Zone 2, panels 1, 2, 3, behind the existing freeze wall. The current transitions I just spoke about to Zone 2, panel 5, and to lower zone 4, as well as the remaining reserves in the existing mining area, are anticipated to provide almost all of the production for the next 9 years using the existing raise boring mining method. So to summarize that, the first 9 years of McArthur River's production life has been zone 2 panels 1 to 3. The next 9 years we'll be finishing that off, Zone 2 Panel 5, that's well underway, the transition, and Zone 4 Lower, which is also well underway. We are also developing a box hole boring mining method that is the expected mining method for the upper zones. Although some limited production is planned from the upper Zone 4 beginning in 2014, it is almost a decade from now before the current life of mine plan transitions predominantly to these upper zones. As a note, this life of mine plan is based only on mineral reserves. Our goal continues to also be to assess mineral resources in an effort to build the production profile in later years. Raise boring has been the only production method used at McArthur River to date. Raise boring is used where we can get above and below the ore body. A pilot hole is drilled from the upper level through the ore body to the lower level. When the pilot hole breaks through on the lower level, the drill bit is removed and a 3-meter reaming head is installed on the drill steel. Using the powerful hydraulics of a raise bore machine, the reamer is pulled back up through the pilot hole while rotating at 6 to 8 RPM. And it's essentially it cuts a 3-meter diameter cylinder through the ore. The loose ore falls to the bottom of the hole and is removed using a remote controlled scoop tram. The remote scoop delivers the ore to the underground processing circuit, and the remote operation serves to increase the miner's distance from the high-grade ore in the extraction chamber, thereby reducing and managing radiation exposure. Once a raise is finished, the reamer is lowered back to the lower level and removed, and the raise is then backfilled with concrete to stabilize the rock and allow full recovery of the ore. In this overhead or plan view, you can see how raises are staggered and overlap slightly, leaving very little of the valuable high-grade ore behind. This does result in some planned concrete dilution in all but the first raises. Once a full panel of raises is completed, the tunnels above and below the panel are backfilled, with concrete as well, and then raise boring begins on an adjacent panel. Just a little word of explanation of box hole boring. Box hole boring is a vertical development technique that is used at a few mines in the world where there's limited or no access from above. Over the past few years, we have assembled a small team at MacArthur River, procured a box hole raise drill, designed various specialized components, and developed box hole boring test areas at MacArthur River. In the past few months, we have reamed and backfilled our first two test holes in waste. A third raise in waste is planned for later this year. We have also drilled freeze holes and are currently freezing the ground for a future test area in ore that is planned to begin in 2010. The fundamental difference between raise boring and our plans for box hole boring is the location of the drill chamber. In box hole boring, the drill chamber is actually located below the ore and below the extraction chamber, and the raise drill pushes the reamer up to extract the ore rather than pulling the reamer up as in raise boring. I'll now shift gears and turn to talking about Eagle Point and Rabbit Lake. The Eagle Point deposit is currently the only mine at Rabbit Lake. As I mentioned earlier, there was four previous open pits. The deposit holds proven and probable reserves of 17.5 million pounds, U308, at an average grade of approximately 1%. After having put the mine on care and maintenance for a three-year period, we reopened Eagle Point in 2002, as was discussed earlier, with an expected mine life of approximately 3 years. Since reopening, we've added 29 million pounds of reserves, extending the mine life substantially. We continue to be optimistic that our ongoing exploration program will extend the operating record even further. Located entirely in basement rock, the Eagle Point ore body and mine does not face the same groundwater control challenges as the unconformity deposits. The mine is accessed by a decline or ramp that leads from surface to the bottom of the mine 420 meters below. The moderate ore grade of Eagle Point is safely extracted using relatively conventional long-hole mining with enhanced radiation protection and ground control measures, such as extensive use of shotcrete. The relatively short continually extending mine life at Eagle Point creates a number of challenges of its own. Extensive development is frequently required to access the new zones of mineral reserves. Similarly, as the mine workings become more spread out, infrastructure upgrades are required for ventilation, dewatering, and other purposes. Part of our strategy for northern Saskatchewan includes our plan to revitalize our mills to improve processes and operational reliability, secure reliable tailings capacity for the long term, and to reduce our environmental footprint while we continue to operate. These assets are currently licensed and strategically located within the prolific Athabasca Basin. Ensuring their continued operation for the coming decades will allow Cameco to take advantage of business opportunities as they arise. Managing the risk of inflow at our northern Saskatchewan mines is a top priority for Cameco. On an ongoing basis, through thorough, careful planning and careful preparation and development, enable us to manage our operations for long-term success, ensuring safe and reliable production. Today, we have in place a number of programs and policies designed to ensure that every person who works in our mines has a thorough understanding of the operating environment of the Athabasca Basin, the associated risks, and their individual accountabilities. In addition, we have put in place operating controls and procedures and contingency preparedness plans that clearly identify the steps to be executed under various circumstances and to establish clear lines of accountability. For years, we have followed the principle that no job is so important that we cannot take the time to do it safely. This remains true today and is fundamental to our ongoing efforts to enhance the safety culture of our company and workplaces. The safety commitment is the foundation for our ongoing success as a reliable producer of uranium. Let me finish with these thoughts. The unique geology of the Athabasca Basin has created tremendous opportunities for companies like Cameco. Through our unique experiences over many years, we have learned and successfully applied many lessons. We have the depth and breadth of knowledge to achieve operational excellence and overcome the challenges and capitalize on the rich opportunities that the geology of the Athabasca Basin presents. It's been my pleasure to speak to you today. Thank you for your attention. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and once again, I wish you a wonderful tour of McArthur River and Key Lake tomorrow.